This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Well, hello there. Hello. Happy Saturday. Oh my God, what? J. Lewis on Saturday? What's that about? Heck yeah, boy daddy-o. I am starting on Saturdays now. For the next 2 weeks, you will hear my show at my usual time, which is Wednesday night. So my Wednesday night people, hi, how are you? I'm doing this on Saturday, but you're hearing it on Wednesday. It's just a new little thing I wanted to do. I wanted to kind of switch it up a little bit. I did have several emails, a few hundred actually, emails asking me if I would be able to do my show at a different time because a lot of people happen to listen to my show through the archive. I do have a lot of listeners that listen live, and I'm so very thankful for you. Please make sure you come over to Saturdays to listen to me, my Wednesday night people. But because I'm getting the emails and the messages telling me that people would like to join the discussion, it's just they're either working or they have their kids or what have you. It's not possible for them. So I said, you know what? Sometimes you just have to listen to the people, right? So I went to the station and I asked them if this was a possibility. I was so graciously told yes. So here I is, baby. Here I is. I'm just joking. How are you all doing? I hope you're all great on this nice Saturday. It feels kind of weird. I'm doing my show and it's light outside, but, you know, it's all good. We'll still get to the end result of what we need. I had a... let's say it was an interesting week. You know, one of the things I can say about being me, there's never a dull moment. Now, I can mean that positively. I can mean that negatively. But there's really never a dull moment when it comes to J. Lewis Mills. So I did have an interesting week. It was a bit productive, not as productive as I would want. So that just means I have to work that much harder next week to make up for this week, in my opinion. What else do I have before we start? Well, that seems to be about it. So today, I'm so used to saying tonight, oh my gosh, today. We are live, as a matter of fact. We are on Station 1 for this Saturday, so you can reach us at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that is 1-888-627-6008. So, I am like most people. I understand social media, but I don't understand social media. You know that one friend you have, you know him, but you don't really know him? I understand social media, but I don't really understand social media. So I figured it would be a nice, refreshing Saturday afternoon conversation to have with someone that does know about social media, that knows so much about social media that she is billed as a social media expert. She also is a pretty snazzy, nifty, creative, strategic, analytical, deep-minded marketing person as well. So I figured, you know, my first Saturday show, we'll get into the usual J. Lewis Mills putting somebody on the level shows. Trust me, those are going to happen. But let's just start the show off new time, new day. Let's just be kind of calm today. Let's just be kind of cool today and have a nice show. So on my show today, I have social media and marketing expert, Miss Carrie Ann Mallott. Carrie Ann has, well, she'll tell you how long she's been doing this. Y'all know how I do. But I am very happy to have Carrie Ann here because she's going to teach me things just as well, and I'm sure as she's going to teach you. So without any further ado, and so I can shut up right now, let me please bring Miss Carrie Ann Mollat on in the conversation. Hello, Miss Mollat. How are you? And thank you very kindly for being here this wonderful Saturday.
Hello, Mr. Mills. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here with you on a new time and day. This is
Absolutely.
Exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. So what I like to do, I don't know if you have had, I know how busy you are. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to any of my previous shows, but when I have guests on, I like for my listeners to know the people they're getting the information from is solid. So I like to call what I like to call it, I'm getting a baseline of my guests. So for my listeners, can you just tell us, I mean, just basically, who is Carrie Ann Mollat? How did Carrie Ann Mollat come about as far as being the social media and strategic marketing person, education, background? We absolutely want to know.
All right, you got it. Well, let's see how Carrie Ann Mollat came to be who she is today. So really,
keep
back
it G-rated.
In college,
just keep it G-rated. Just
oh, different show. Okay,
yeah,
cool,
yeah,
cool.
yeah,
basically back in college, you know how you have to decide your major, right? It took me a while, but I had a marketing class that I fell in love with, and so I studied. My major was advertising and marketing, and this is back in the day when MySpace was popping. You remember MySpace?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? So MySpace kind of kicked off my career. But what was interesting about it, now this is 2004, so a long time ago, especially in internet years. But I was in classes, right? I'm like learning old school marketing, old school advertising, you know, principles from the 1800s that have been around forever. And then I would go home at night. And I would try to apply these principles to this new thing called MySpace, which was like essentially everyone's first free website. You didn't have to pay for it. And you got to, you know, doctor up your profile and, you know, create your own little brand for yourself and, you know, build a following and all of that. And that was really the beginning of my career where I wasn't looking at these platforms as like social places, but more on a marketing tip and how I can use it for business.
What was it? I don't mean to interrupt, and I thank you, and I would like for you to continue where you left off, but I just have a quick question. What was it that got your attention? What was it that made you say, this is something I kind of want to, you know, I kind of have an interest for this. What was it? Was it just the newness of MySpace? Was it just the, for lack of better words, just the contradiction of what you had learned before to MySpace? What is it that really put that bug of interest in you, if you can remember that?
Yeah, oh, I sure can remember that. That's a great question.
Okay.
It's because I was a broke college student, a divorced single mom, and this free thing came out that was really fancy and technical, whereas up until that point, you had to have money to build a website.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I was like, wait, this is free? And I can connect with all these people all over the world. And that free part, again, was really interesting to me. So I said, there's something here. And then the next part was that caught my interest was that so I was already kind of working on the music scene when I was in college, and I started,
what were you doing?
Like, so I was always doing like promotion, management, marketing, and I found local artists. I kind of was like a low key A&R person because they would all bring me their music, and then I would tell them like if it was whack, if it was good, whatever, and they all respected that opinion. I had friends in the music industry there, on the local scene, broke some artists in the local area for the first time on the radio. So I was applying them to the MySpace world, right? So I'd build their profiles, and their fans would connect with them, and I was like, oh, this is really. This is catching on. This is really interesting.
Was it were any of the, I mean, this is just a side note, but were any of the singers that you helped or had anything to do with back in those days, is it anybody that me and my listeners would recognize their name today?
Not more like on the producer side, so probably not.
Okay, cool.
Usher's cousin kind of stuff, you know, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Usher's cousins, mama's baby, sister's daddy's housekeeper.
Right.
Okay, so Facebook, I mean, not Facebook, MySpace was your first, would you say that was your first social media venture? You used MySpace as like your proverbial guinea pig to see what you could and couldn't do. Were you one
Definitely.
Of those people that was on MySpace 24/7 times 11 when it first came out?
I sure was. So I was fascinated by it from a business standpoint too. And you know, my life at that time was really hectic. So I was, like I said, divorced, single mom. My son was like 2-3 years old. And I'd go to class all day, pick him up from daycare, get him dinner, you know, put him to bed. And then I'd be figuring this stuff out until like 2 in the morning on MySpace, playing around with it, trying new things. Learning how to get rid of, you remember those profile skins that you could download and then make your profile,
yes.
like,
yes.
right? Okay, so I yes. was like, ooh, but that's ugly with all that spam, you know, like profileglitter.com on the left. So I was like, how do I get rid of that and make this even more pretty? And so I was learning basic HTML code to handle that mm-hmm. stuff. So I was really looking at it as like a real serious project to see how I could leverage it.
Okay. And just real quickly, you said that you're a single mom. Just want to give a shout out to Austin. Congratulations on your first touchdown the other day, buddy. Good job. I know you're going to listen to the show. So there you go. There's your shout out.
That's my
baby. So let's go back a little bit, because I did ask you a question that kind of took you off the path you're on. We got to the point of college. What college did you go to, and what college did you go to? What was your major? And when you got the, I'm going to say the word fascination, correct me if there's a different word I should use, but when you got the fascination for MySpace, did you ever have a conversation with any of your professors about it? Did they help inspire your curiosity?
That is a great question. You know, it's funny because I actually speak to colleges now, and I work with college students, and it's still like a mystery and a fascination to everyone today, and it's been 14 plus years, but not so much. I did have a really fantastic PR professor, and I attended Bradley University, a private liberal arts school in the Midwest. Okay. From Illinois, and that was really like his mentorship was more about the entrepreneur life and the mm-hmm. consulting and marketing life, because
okay.
he knew that I was onto something that was, you know, really like cutting edge, and so yeah, that mentorship definitely helped. Ultimately, he's the one who helped me come to LA and see a bigger like picture for my life here in LA, actually.
Okay, so you went to BRADU. I get that. That's a good school.
Bradley, you. Yeah.
So when you were in college, you were doing your MySpace thing. Did you have any friends that recognized you're kind of becoming the MySpace guru? And did you ever have a small side type business where you would update people's MySpace pages for them? They would just send you the pictures and the content, and you would go ahead and do that for them. Was that a real thing in your reality?
That was a real thing. Yeah, it was a real thing. I worked, like I said, I was working in the music scene too, so I had a lot of local artists come find me because word got out that not only was I like, you know, I had my ear to the streets with music, but like I had this technology and this marketing component to me as well. And then having the plug to the local radio station was kind of like a magic, like, ooh, okay, hold up. So here's I got so many CDs when I was out or like that. It was just hand them to me like, hey, you need to hear my stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll get to it. So, yeah, that became a thing. I would build their profiles and, you know, sell merch for them on MySpace and, you know, upload photos. I've been building profiles for many, many years.
Oh, wow. And I just want to clear this up for my non-hipster friends. When Miss Malott says she had a plug with the radio station, that meant she had a connection to the radio station. I just want to clear that up for anybody that kind of didn't understand what that meant. When she said plug, that's what that whole situation was. So she was just saying she had a connection to the radio station is all that.
Correct.
Was,
right? Correct.
So we are at MySpace, Bradley University. This is an absolute fascination for you. At what point does it go from a fascination to, I can do a little nest egg with this here?
Yes. So that same PR mentor of mine, he was a professor who worked with me on doing a focus group and a special project for like an internship for a technology company in town my senior year of college. And after the work was all said and done, it's, you know, a semester long project. He was so like, you did such a great job. And we pulled in social media as part of that. But overall, basically, he was like, you know, if you were on your own consulting, that you could have billed them $10,000 for the project that you did. And I was, again, the broke college student part. Remember that part?
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me, how much?
Yeah.
I'm getting $10 an hour for an internship. And so at that point, I knew I had something going with marketing as the foundation. And even today, right, in 2018, like foundationally, you have to have your marketing straight or the social media doesn't go right. So that was really the beginning of it all.
Okay, so you opened that Pandora's box. I'm just going to stay right there. Why is
all
that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people come to me, you know, clients, they'll need some social media help. And they, you know, they're running their own business, they're an entrepreneur, a small business, even large corporations, right? You have to have your marketing message down first before you're able to execute it on social media. And like, clearly no one really uses MySpace anymore. We have different platforms, but the principles still apply, right?
Yeah, when I heard Justin Timberlake bought that for $30 million, I was like, damn, he just wasted his money because nobody's going back to MySpace. But that's a different show, completely different show.
Right.
What is it? Is this a fair question, Jay Lewis? Yes, it is. What is it that people come to you the most for? Like, let's say, and we'll get into your Facebook Lives, we'll get into everything else that you do, but when people come to you first time, what is the usual thing what do you get the most from people?
I guess the most thing that I get is just, like, help me, kind of like you said at the top of the show. Like, I get social media, but I don't really get social media, right? So they come to me with, like, look, I know I'm supposed to be using these things, but can you help me understand them? Can you help me be more strategic with them so that I'm not wasting my time? And then how do we make money using them? That's pretty much what I get over and over.
Okay. And was it a situation where you were heavy into, and I mean, when I say heavy into, I mean, as far as, you know, learning all of your codes, helping other people. As far as MySpace is concerned, how long did that last for? And for you, someone that is learning it to teach other people, how difficult was it for you to conform to, let's just say, the upgrades of social media after MySpace?
Yeah, great question. You know, for me, it's all been, I jokingly say the stars have lined up for my career, right? Because this is 2004, so it's early, early days. And it was even called social networking at the time. Social media wasn't even a term yet.
Yes.
So for me, the upgrades were easy to maneuver into because I intuitively get social media. I think marketers, and if you put your marketing hat on, no matter who you are, if you just try to think like a marketer when it comes to social media, number one, and then a second hat, and this is honestly the most fascinating one. Nobody really talks about this part, but if you put on the hat of a sociologist / psychologist, but if you put on that kind of a hat and you look at social media that way, it's very easy to understand. So from the combination of those, you know, kind of skill sets of having an understanding, a real solid kind of like, I just intuitively understand marketing, right? And the psychology and sociology behind how all of these platforms move and how humans behave and interact, like that has not changed, nor will it ever. And so to be able to move to the new hottest thing, you know, it's like you still have the same goals, you know, as a user and what you're looking for out of the platform.
Okay. You are on the level this today. I was going to say this Saturday, but you're going to hear this Wednesday too. So you're on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I am talking to social media and marketing expert Carrie Ann Mellott. If you have any questions or comments for me or Carrie Ann, you can reach us at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that is 1-888-627-6008. Is there a social media platform that you like more than others? And is there a social media platform that you would advise people don't really even waste your time trying to learn this one?
Good question. Well, I always tell people social media, Facebook in particular, has been paying my bills for over a decade. So I love Facebook. And of course, I love their darling child, Instagram, who is really, really hot and picking up steam right now. So, you know, I think you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that Instagram is hot. And then as far as what not to use, I mean, let's just take a minute and RIP Google Plus, because that didn't really jump off how they probably wanted it to. So I would not recommend that.
I don't think
that
it did either. And just another real quick clarification. When Ms. Mellott said you must be living under a rock, what she means is you could have possibly been so busy in your world and your world has nothing to do with social media that you just don't know about it. So she didn't really think that you were living under a rock. Wanted to clear that up too.
Correct. Although I do have to say there are a billion daily active users on Instagram. So that's a beat. 1 billion, over 1 billion daily active users on Instagram now. So it's really cool to see the growth in that community over the years.
So since we're talking about Instagram, and we'll get back to, you know, your background in a minute, but since we're talking about Instagram, you looked at a picture that was on my Instagram earlier today, and you said, how do you get so many likes so quickly? What did you mean? I didn't answer your question. I didn't want to tell you. I'm not going to answer this now. I want you to answer this on my show. I wasn't going to do that. So I just didn't answer you in a way that would, I guess, I don't know. I wanted to save this part of the conversation for my show, to be honest with you.
I bet you did. So
what did you mean by that? Because now I'm about to show my ignorance for Instagram. I have 480 followers, which is not a lot, but I just want to be clear too. There's a lot of times when I see people or I see pages that are following me now, I will spend a good amount of time blocking people, blocking different pages, because they're really nothing more than just spam or bots. So, you know, I try to see who I do and don't know as far as people. I don't know everybody that follows me, but I've got like 400 and some odd followers. When I post something, and you know, sometimes I can go back 10 minutes later and I've got 100 likes. Sometimes I can come back an hour later on a different post that I did and I've got like 2 or 3. So that makes, when I see the lower numbers, I'm like, well, shit, fuck y'all. I don't want to be your friend anyway. Because I'm just like, well, if y'all don't like me, I don't like you. I'm sorry. That's what I've said before. If y'all don't like me, I don't like you. Well, shit, I'm not even going to post on these social media things anymore. Man, just because my show was off the air, these people don't like, I'm telling you, I went through the whole situation. So just please educate me and help me understand, because you started talking about algorithms and yeah. I didn't want you to really go into it. And I was like, Lord, please let this woman shut up. Please let her say this. So, you know, I will publicly on the show, I will apologize because I did come off a bit stiff, but I just wanted to save this conversation for the show. Common sense probably should have told me, just tell her you want to save it for the show, but it didn't, so whatever.
I'm not mad. You're strategic, which is part of marketing and using social media correctly, so I can appreciate that. Okay, yes, so I was talking earlier about the algorithm, and that was the one thing I had mentioned. I said, well, your likes-to-follower ratio doesn't align with the typical behavior based on the algorithm. And what I just said was Greek to 99% of the people listening, right?
Because I sure as hell was about to say, what are you talking about?
Right? And I think that's the first point I want to make, is that you guys have to all realize that these platforms like Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, they are based on an algorithm. And the algorithm's job is to basically decide for you what they think you want to see in your newsfeed when you're sitting there scrolling through Instagram. And the reason why an algorithm is even a thing, if you think about Facebook, right? How many friends people have on Facebook? Let's say they had 300, some have 500, 1,000, 5,000 is your cap, right? That's a lot of people. And if everyone's posting on Facebook every day, all day long, there's absolutely no way possible for you to be able to receive all of it in one sitting, right? So yeah. Facebook is like, shoot, this is a problem. It's like a garden hose of newsfeed content. How do we organize it the best to our ability and give them what we think they really want to see? Mm. So when I look at, you know, someone who has, and there's all kinds of programs and things and reasons why someone has a lot of likes versus a few likes. But if the algorithm, if there's no like outside third party app, nothing's being paid for, which you can do, right, to buy likes, which I don't recommend.
I think that should be illegal. I'm just going to throw that in there. I think that should be illegal. Just me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know little Henry Cooper up the street. I was on an NBC TV show. I have 400 and something followers. Henry up the street that doesn't do shit for nothing, he has 22,000. Man, out of my face with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have Tourette's. Go
I
ahead.
Know. No, and you work hard and you deserve the recognition and you deserve, you know, a fan base to follow you, find you, follow you, and engage with you, right? And so So absolutely, I agree with you 100%. I call people out publicly when I see that they're basically, it's fake, right? It's just not real. And at the end of the day, social media works the best when you're the most authentic you can be. Because mm-hmm. that's what we want to see. We want to see ourselves in another human. We want to see if they're real, right? On the level, like level playing field. Let's put it on the table, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the algorithm does its job. and it will serve you what it thinks you want to see based off of all the potential pieces of content that you could see on a daily basis.
Okay. So what you just, your last explanation just birthed in my head a new question.
Okay.
So let's just speak real quickly about these paid services that people can use. Because it is, and I this might be a question you can't answer like with a structured answer. So your answer may be more opinion than fact. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask the question and I'll find out. So using these paid services, I say it's a shortcut. I say it's a cheap way for people to feel validated, because the problem is some people that use these paid services think that you can't figure it out. The problem mm-hmm. with that is if you take the time to go and look at the likes that they have, you know, if you see a bunch of those that have zero posts or that are following like 10,000 people but have 3 or 4 followers, to me that's a telltale right there. But the question I wanted to ask you is, because these paid services are out there, and because I would have to believe Instagram or any other social media platforms are not receiving any monetary gain from any of these paid services, and because I do believe if it's done on a computer, it can be tracked, it can be figured out, is there a reason in your opinion or factual mind why these social media platforms aren't prohibiting these services? Like, so I guess what I'm asking is, so if you weren't Carrie Ann, if you didn't do what you do, and you were paying for a service, wouldn't it be easy for Instagram, their people, to tell that you were doing this and, you know, suspend your account, ban your account, tell you can't use it? How come that's not a thing?
Great question. So it's kind of a thing. In fact, you know, if they're caught, these companies are caught and they are verified to be breaking the terms of service, then they get shut down. The thing is that there are so many people, right? We're talking billions of people on social media today. But I'll give you an example of some things that the platforms have done. So for almost 5 years, I was the director of social media for eHarmony, a major dating company. And there was a point during that time where, you know, my Facebook team gave us the heads up. They're like, hey, you know, we're doing a clean sweep, basically, and getting rid of a bunch of fake profiles, right? Mm-hmm. These are not real people. These are these companies you speak of, perhaps, right? Third-party apps that have created these bots that are not real and that people have paid to have them be their friend or like their page, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw it across the board. When it happened, when it went down, Facebook, no joke, like everyone's numbers dropped because they eliminated those types of profiles. So they are doing some things about it. It's just there's so many people, and it takes 2 seconds for, you know, someone to write a program to create all these bots and these, you know, fake profiles. But yeah, it's against terms of service, and you're right. Like you want that validation, you want that from real people. Those are the only people who can give it to you. So
yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny you mentioned eHarmony. I was going to sign up with eHarmony, but it costs money, so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna just use Tinder and call it a day.
That was just
a little too much information. I get that. I understand that. I'm sorry. hashtags, those are a real thing. That's basically the bread and butter, in my opinion, of social media. Can you tell us when, where, about, and how the hashtag even came to be?
Yeah, my good friend Twitter, right? So back in the day when Twitter was just kind of launching, they basically needed a way for them to anchor certain conversations. If you're familiar with Twitter, it is a real news feed that flies so fast, right? Because there, at the beginning, especially, it was just text, 140 characters, boom, that's it. You tweet, you send, and that's what the news feed on Twitter was. And so they needed a way to kind of anchor and separate specific conversations so people could go and find them. And so hashtags were really set up to do that job. And, man, I love Twitter. Like, back in the day, I was on Twitter in 2006, I believe, and used hashtags for that exact reason. So you could go and search for conversations based around a certain keyword. Like, one, for example, was hashtag Follow Friday. And that is how, if you took the time and you learned what to do, you could build a really engaged, large following using the hashtag Follow Friday, for example.
Oh, wow. The very first tweet that I saw was, you know, like you said, it was in 2006. And I had gotten on Twitter, you know, I did the whole account, did not have the slightest idea what it was. I didn't know what in the world I was doing. It was just something new. I think someone had said something to me about it. But the very first tweet that I saw was from Soleil Moon Frye, the chick that used to play Punky Brewster.
Okay.
And she did, it was talking about, she did a tweet that she had just come out of the grocery store. She had just bought groceries, put the groceries in her car. I really almost even want to say her dog's name is Bailey, because I think she even mentioned having her dog. But that might be something different. But the first tweet that I saw was from Soleil Moon Frye talking about how she left the grocery store. And I remember I said to myself, why would anybody care that you just left the grocery store? This is so stupid. I'm not even going to use this crap. This is just dumb, is absolutely what I said. And 12 years later, I am a Twitter enthusiast. I even remember, speaking of Twitter, I even remember watching the news when they were talking about it was Channel 12 News, and they were talking about they had a new Twitter handle, and the news anchor was like, so what are we supposed to call these? Do you call them twits? Do you call them twats? What do you call them? I mean, she's sitting on a 6 o'clock news and she says twits or twats. And I'm like, yeah. The only time you can say that word on television and not get fired is right there.
In that context, and only that.
Then. It wasn't even a tweet. So, you know, hearing all of this, it kind of blows my mind, because I never knew it before. I mean, like the hashtags. I mean, just the whole, if I sit and just think of the whole element of social media, I'll tell you this. I went to a class reunion last summer in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I remember one of my friends, he said to me, he said, you know, Jay Lewis, if social media, he said, if social media and Pornhub would have been out when we were in high school, I would have gotten in so much trouble. And, you know, I had to stop and think about that. I might not have gotten in so much trouble, but my goodness, if social media was out when I was in high school, wow. I just don't see how the kids do it today. But again, That's a different story. I'm getting off topic. Let's get back to, because I kind of want to wrap up people getting to know you, and I want to start talking about the businesses that you actually support and that you that you market. But just sure. for all of my listeners to be clear, because I'm pretty sure most of them can possibly get in touch with you and ask you for some type of help. What mm-hmm. is your clientele usually? Or I don't even know. No. Forget the on average. Forget the whatever. Who can you help?
That is such a great question and a hard one to answer because a lot of people come to me with questions, right? However, as a marketer, I do love my new favorite phrase, which is there's riches in niches. And so in order to help provide the best quality service I can. Right now, the majority of people that I work with are women entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. people who are the face of their own business, right? So they're an independent consultant or they're their own brand, right? And they are selling either themselves, a service, or a product. And that's who I'm working with because, you know, I love my women entrepreneurs and I have worked in corporations and for big companies doing social media and, you know, marketing and sales, but I have a real passion for working with women. A lot of women are scared and they need to learn how to overcome their fears of social media stage fright, I call it, right? Because you do have to put yourself out there. I mean, you know this more than anybody. Like, you have to be visible for people to find you so they could eventually pay you, right, for your products mm-hmm. or services. So I love working with women in business. To help them really conquer these social media stages.
Who can you help outside of business?
I mean, anybody, you know, it's there's okay. so much that you can do with these profiles. Mm-hmm. And honestly, corporations have profiles, right? Brands have profiles. Everyone is here. Not everyone, that's an exaggeration. A lot of people are here, over a billion, right, just on Instagram. So, yeah.
Okay. And the last question I'll ask to wrap this part of our conversation up would be, how can I ask this? What type of business? No. Is there any type of business you would not help someone promote? I mean, look, if they have a website, if they have an audience, their money spends just like anybody else's. Is there any industry? Is there any faction? Is there any – I'm not trying to say you're going to say, you know, fuck Republicans. I'll never help a Republican. I know you would never say that. But is there anyone or any business, any company that you're like, yeah, no?
I mean, if I'm being choosy because I'm an entrepreneur and I get to choose who my target market is and who I get to go after, there's millions of people just – you know, there's millions of women entrepreneurs, right? And then I get even more specific and work with people who represent a beauty brand even more specifically. But, you know, I'm not crazy about the financial sector because there's so many rules that they have to be aware of when they post on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and et cetera, which makes sense, you know. Let's see. I don't know. I mean, I'm a creative businesswoman, so I like both sides of, like, having some sort of creative part with my clients. Almost all my clients tend to be creative businesswomen, right? So they have both sides of the brain working. But so I don't know. Accountants, I don't know. I mean, everyone needs it. And it's really cool when you find people who are unexpected, like an accountant. Like if an accountant was crushing it on social media, they will stand out. You know what I mean? Because like hardly any other accountants are standing out and crushing it on social media. So that's a fun challenge for me as well. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate everybody, but the ones that I really have a passion for are pretty clear.
Okay. So let me just strip off all of the nice wrapping paper to my question and just be blunt, frank and forward. if you had an escort that has her own escort website and she is trying to market herself, and that's what she does, male or female. I'm not just going to say she. If you have someone that works in the adult film industry, that works in the sex trade, if you have people that run dispensaries, will you help them?
I mean, I actually thought about the opportunities are huge for obviously the marijuana market, and especially with the new laws and things like that passed. I mean, these are all huge areas of opportunity, but, you know, I'm good with my specific niches.
Okay, so my escort listeners, my dispensary listeners, sorry, I tried. I specifically asked, she specifically answered. Sorry. Okay, so.
You're hilarious. I mean, yeah, well, first of all, everyone can join my free Facebook group and learn a ton from there, which is one of the things that I do, just because there are so many people who are asking for my help and I can't answer every question. So I tend to just go live in my Facebook group and I train in general. So, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you can join that group and you can learn a bunch of things from the training.
Well, I was going to cover this, and when we were talking about the products that you yourself market, but that's kind of a good segue into talking about what you're doing personally. So, what are these groups? And before you tell them what they are, I know that there's more than one. So if listeners, if you guys want to take a minute or two to exit out of this app, if you're listening on the app, and get to the notes on your phone, or you want to grab a pen and a piece of paper, go ahead and do that now, because I'm going to take a little bit of time and say that you are listening to On the Level with J. Lewis Mills, and Carrie Ann Mellott is my guest. If you have any questions or concerns for myself or Carrie Ann, you can give us a call at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Now, they should have had enough time to get a pen, paper, whatever they're going to get. Can you continue? I'm sorry.
All right, you got it. Yes, write this down, because not everyone can spell my name right, even my own friends. I my girlfriend the other day, I'm like, really? There's one R in Carrie Ann, but that's okay. So I'm going to give you the name of my Facebook group. If you are an entrepreneur and you want to learn the newest and latest and greatest strategies on social media, building your brand, marketing, the name of the Facebook group is Carrie Ann Money Makers. If you make money and you need to use social media to get that job done, you are more than welcome to request to join Carrie Ann's Money Makers. And I'll spell Carrie Ann. It's spelled K-E-R-I-A-N-N-E. Carrie Ann's apostrophe S Money Makers is the Facebook group.
Do you have another one, or is it just that one?
I have private groups for my clients, so we get to play around in those groups. This is the one that everyone can join. Yeah.
How many private groups do you have for your clients?
I actually just created another one recently. So the other part, and I know you were going to get there, so I'm kind of jumping ahead, but the other part that I offer more specifically to people in business right now is teaching them to learn to go live. It's the most powerful thing I've found. And so a new Facebook group that I've created is Carrie Ann's Backstage Sandbox, which is a private group for people to try and practice learning to go live in a safe, private place before they literally have to go live to the whole world, because it's a very scary thing for a lot of people. I mean, you got that down, I'm sure, because you're an actor, but like a lot of people are terrified of it. So that's an example of one of the private groups that I have.
Now, when you say that people can go in and practice, can the other people in the group see their practice runs, or is it just them? They're the only ones that can view them.
No, it's open to everyone in the group who's a current member at the time. So, for example, last night I was doing some coaching with a client who is a vocalist and vocal coach in New York City, and we were going to train her, basically get her coached and prepped to learn how to interview somebody on Facebook Live so that she could set this up for part of her marketing strategy. So we went into the backstage sandbox, which is where we play and practice, and a few other people joined the broadcast so they could watch and see what we were doing. So, yeah, it's a great supportive, you know, kind of group where everyone just kind of like supports each other, and it's a good feeling.
Okay. I don't know if this is a fair question. I don't know if this is a detrimental question. If it's unfair or if it's detrimental, I apologize. But as far as your clients are concerned, what is the usual life expectancy of your business relationship? Is this a forever ongoing thing, or is there a point when people get it to the point that they don't need your services any longer?
That's a great question. That's not detrimental. No, in fact, Facebook, Instagram, these are always changing, right? So some people definitely are here for the long haul. Like I took a break as a marketing coach and a social media expert to work for eHarmony. So I wanted to go and work for a major brand and learn even more inside, you know, strategies working directly with the platform. So I took like a little break and then came back out as a consultant and marketing coach again. And it was really cool to see people who I used to work with back in 2009, 2010, 8 years later. They're like, "You're back. All right. Let's talk. So I need your help." So it really just depends on the person and where they're at in their business and what they need.
Okay. I thought we were going to have a lot more time to spend, but you know, as you know, it takes me 20 minutes just to say hello. So we are running out of time, which only means you would have to come back at a certain point. But before we do end our conversation, I do want you to speak about whatever you are personally marketing. And also, I would like for you to tell my listeners what you, as someone that does what you do for a living, what do you look for when it comes to a potential new product to market?
That's a great question, because I really love passionate entrepreneurs. So if someone is, you know, really excited about what they've got going on, that's going to basically carry forward their marketing strategy online. If they are the face of their business, right, and you are the one who has to promote yourself, you are the one that people are hiring or buying directly from, it's helpful if you are genuinely excited and passionate about what you sell. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what I look for, is like, man, are you here and you're pumped about your business or your product? Like, that's going to make a difference. And why I say that is because, you guys know, like, this stuff doesn't ever shut off, mm-hmm. right? Social media is 24/7, and it requires you to constantly be promoting, publishing content, posting things, right? It's a never-ending cycle. And it's definitely easier when you love what you do. So that's the first thing that I look for. My life slogan is, do what you love, love what you do, and you'll never work a day in your life. And that's been true for me in my life, and I want others to experience that. So that's the first thing that I look for in a client. To answer your question on what am I personally working on and focusing on now,
before you answer that, I am so sorry, Carrie Ann. Before you answer that, I also wanted you to tell my listeners, when you are looking for a product to market, what do you look for in that? And what is your personal I don't want to say your checklist, because I'm not trying to get you to give your secrets, but what are I guess I am. What is your checklist of things that you look for when it comes to, okay, so this is a product that I think I even want to push this one?
Really, it's that, you know, like, if I can see myself believing in it and being a customer, I'm down. Like, that's really exciting for me. I have to be passionate about it as well.
So you would say the short answer would be, if you would buy it, you'd sell it.
that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, and it's okay. Got to be a fit, you know, as a coach, you know, even top Olympic athletes have coaches, right? But there has to be a good fit there on both sides. So
yeah,
that's okay. Definitely part of it.
Okay, so now, if you don't mind, get into what are you personally promoting right now?
Sure, thanks. So I had a great run working for, you know, a major company, and I looked back over the time spent, and I was like, what was like the coolest, hottest thing, you know, that happened in social media? And of course, you have running ad campaigns and, you know, huge budgets and working with celebrity influencers and, you know, filming content. I was at YouTube studios. Like, I did a lot of things. And the top thing that came out for me and how it can relate to people in business, especially a small business owner or an entrepreneur, was live streaming. Back in about 2013, I remember my Twitter team took us out to dinner after our quarterly business review, and my account executive took out his phone and he's like, I have to show you something, Carrie Ann. And I'm like, okay. And he's boop, 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 boop on his phone, right? And then he shows me the screen and it was people waving and I could hear them. They're like, hi, Carrie Ann. And I was like, what? And he goes, hey guys, what's up? You know, we're here at dinner. And they were live streaming from Twitter headquarters up in San Francisco in real time. And we were communicating back to them. I said, what kind of witchcraft is this? Like, what is this, guys? And they're like, no, this is Periscope. And I was like, I need that in my life. And it was at that moment where I knew the whole game was going to shift, because you just can't get a more powerful tool to use when you are trying to basically establish your expertise and build relationships and establish credibility as the expert in your field, other than a live streaming tool. And so I looked back at my experience, and what I did was I took that and I ran with it. I used Facebook Live as well and created an entire movement on using live streaming as a tool for business. And so that got me thinking, like, wow, if major companies can do that to connect with their customers and offer support, answer questions, customer service, you know, just build that connection, that human component that you need in business today. Anyone in entrepreneurship can do this too. And so that's where learntogolive.com was birthed, which is my newest baby. And we're even working on 2.0 as we speak to help train people to reach through that lens and pick up money on the table, because it's absolutely possible.
Wow. So I hope you all heard that. And if you didn't, and you can listen again Wednesday. And if you miss it Wednesday, it'll be in the archive. I do thank you sincerely for being on my show. For being on my show today, Carrie Ann. You let me know a lot more than I knew before speaking to you, and I'm always grateful when someone can teach me. I know that you absolutely helped my listeners. And I like to leave, I always have, you know me, I'm Jay Lewis, I have to have the last word. So before I give my last word of the show, I always like to ask my guest if they have any parting words for my listeners as well. I would also like for you to share any way my listeners would be able to get in contact with you if they need to, any type of coaching help.
I love that. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate that. And thanks again for having me on your show. How people can get in touch with me, you know, I'm easily found if you can spell my name and put it into Google or any of these social media platforms. I love for entrepreneurs, if you're listening, to join Carrie Ann's Moneymakers Facebook group. Pro tip right there, start a group. If you don't have a group already, start a group. It is the next big thing for a small business owner. Money is being made in groups. And then, of course, you can find me on Instagram, which is at curvy_Carrie Ann, which I believe you tagged me in some of your posts on Instagram. But that. And learntogolive.com actually gets you a free guide to prepare you for your first live broadcast. If you guys are looking for, you know, some help in that area, again, I work with women entrepreneurs, and I just created this guide because a lot of it is mindset. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is, you know, feeling confident on camera, even before you hit that go live button. There's a lot of things to work on first. So that's where people can find more information.
All right, ma'am. Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Thank you all for being here. We got through it. We got through the first Saturday show. Before I hang up, I have something to say, and like even just thinking about it is making me is making me a bit emotional. So it might take me a minute to get through this, but I started on the level with J. Lewis Mills because I felt like I had a different perspective. I felt like, you know, I am the kind of person, I listen to both sides. I don't shut anybody out. I don't say, because you disagree with me, I can't be your friend. Because you disagree with me, I can't like you. That's not me. Trust me, there are a lot of people that I consider a friend, and they consider me a friend, and we do not agree on everything. But I started this show just because I was really getting sick of the rhetoric and bullshit that I was forced to hear. And it was like I was sick of screaming at the television, well, why aren't you saying this? Well, how come you didn't do this? So I figured, you know, I had the ability, and I said, all I need to do is change one perspective, and that's going to be enough. I don't know whether it was fake or whether it was true, but I received an email earlier this week from a guy that lives in Roanoke, Virginia. No, he doesn't. He lives in West Virginia. He doesn't live in Roanoke. In his letter, in his email, he told me that for the last 45 years of his life, he was a racist man, couldn't stand black people at all, couldn't stand Mexican people. He even went so far as to say that he thought more of his dog than he thought of women. But he went on to say that from listening to my show, it helped change his perspective. He went on to say, there are too many people living and dead for me to go back and apologize to. So I hope with me telling you that I realize the error of my ways, and thank you for helping to change my mind. I hope that's enough. And I did email him back. I haven't heard a response back from him. I asked him, number one, if I could share his email on my social media, because that's something that I absolutely want to do. But I also told him, you know, I appreciate his apology, but I'm not the spokesperson for all black people. But you don't need to apologize to anybody. You just need to stop. That's all you need to do. You just need to stop. So that gets me. That gets me emotionally triggered. Listen, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy trying to do a good thing. I'm nobody's savior. I'm nobody's guru. I'm nobody's confidant. That's not me. That's not what I'm here for. So the fact that he said that, the fact that he sent this email, and again, you know, we just got finished talking about how there's fake profiles and all that. This could very well be someone that – I mean, this could very well not be true. But I'm also one of those people that believes if there's possibility there, then it's very possible that this man wrote me this email telling me that listening to my show helped change his perspective. And he actually named a couple of the shows that I did that he listened to. He listened to the show that I did with former football player Tony Sands when we're talking about the flag. I know, just so you all know, I'm trying my best to stay off that subject, but this shit is starting to come up again. So if I have to do another show on it, I just might get kicked off the air. I'm just putting that out there. And he heard the shows that I did with Senator Michael Brown. You know, people can say anything they want to you. It just depends on what you choose to give power to. The fact that this gentleman sent me this email, I'm just going to say that it was him. The fact that this gentleman sent me this email blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. You're trying to tell me that for 45 years, you have been a racist misogynist, and I've been on the air for just over a year, and you're telling me that my show had the power to change your 45 years? That's just humbling. That's just something for me to feel nothing but grateful for. We are going through a situation right now where the highest court in the land could lose a lot of respect. I am reading on social media where I am seeing people that are making this political. This is one of those things, people, that is not political. I grew up in a house of two sisters and a mother. And an idiot for a brother that couldn't teach himself anything, let alone me. I have five aunts. I have eight now. Oh, wow. I have eight female cousins now. I have a boatload of female friends. Never in life or in this existence could I ever see myself doing anything for anyone to say I assaulted them in a sexual way. But when a woman says that and you turn a deaf ear to it, who the motherfucker you? There are women in this country. There are women across this world
that had a situation happen to them as Dr. Ford did 30, 40 years ago, and they're still in therapy about it. So I think this message is more to my male listeners, my male friends, my male counterparts. Number one, and I'm going to say y'all because I don't do it, but y'all got to cut this shit the fuck out. If you're not good enough to get a woman on your own, goddamn it, go home and beat your shit. And I fucking mean that. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. The fact that a woman in this country, a woman in this world can be sexually assaulted and everything doesn't halt, that's a problem for me. And before I had, well, nobody is fool enough to say this to my face, but before I get an email from somebody saying, how do you know these women are telling the truth? You're absolutely right, but there's some shit. If you investigate it well enough, if you ask the right questions, see, that's the problem. People don't ask the right fucking questions. If you ask the right questions, you will get the truth. You will absolutely get the truth. So I am calling on, as far as my voice reaches, every man that hears this show, sure, the first part of it was all light and wonderful, and I did not know I was going to go down this road at the end of this show. But I am calling on every person that considers himself a real fucking man. Open your mouth. When you see your friends doing something, quit fucking laughing at it. Call them out right then and there. When you see something happening, we live in a society now. I'm going to tell you like this. About 2 months ago, I was walking down Vine in Hollywood. There was this dude that had this woman pinned up against the wall, choking her with his hand around her fucking neck. I'm watching people walk back and forth, and I'm like, wait a minute. I only have one fucking eye, and I can see this shit going on. Oh, well, that's none of my business, bro. It was actually outside of a club, on the side of a club. And I go to the bouncer. I'm like, look, dude, come over here. Oh, that's not my business, bro. I can't do nothing about that. What the fuck are you talking about? You can't do nothing about that. Now, the woman was off the ground, but she had to have been all of 5'4". The fucking guy was like 6'2". What do you mean you can't do anything about that? Oh, that ain't got nothing to do with me, bruh. First of all, I'm not your fucking bruh. Because if I was your fucking bruh, you would have been over there without me even saying a word. Because my bruhs do shit like that. My bruhs will go and stop some shit like that. So first of all, I'm not your fucking bruh. Second of all, the fact that not only you and other people, and God damn it, I swear to you, there were women walking with men that just looked and didn't say a fucking word. Why? Because we have become a society where we say, if it done got shit to do with me, it done got shit to do with me. Yeah, wait till it is you. Wait till your sister comes home. Wait till your mama comes home. Wait till your cousin comes home. Wait till your wife. Wait till your girlfriend. Wait till your fucking daughter comes home and says somebody sexually molested them. Someone sexually assaulted them. Oh, yeah, you're going to break down doors then trying to figure out why nobody did anything. But when it's you in that situation, ain't got nothing to do with me, bruh. That's the mentality that we have here. Just the fact that the person sitting up at a confirmation hearing now, just the fact, as soon as word one should have been said, okay, hold up, we're going to stop this. We're going to stop this whole nomination. We're going to stop this whole shit until we figure out what's really going on. And Dr. Ford, if you're lying, please understand, we just stopped this hearing. If you are lying, please understand, you get a one-way ticket to prison. That is the type of culture. That is the type of temperature that we should be around. And then I see on CNN, wow, I'm so sorry I'm giving this to you guys right now, but hey, it's my show. I'm doing it. Then I see on CNN where two women that were assaulted corner Senator Flake in the elevator. And then I go and I read on social media where people are talking shit about these two women or talking shit about Senator Flake because he came back after that whole situation happened. He's like, yeah, hold up. I want to rethink this, which is what he should have done before that happened, first of all. I'm just saying. That should have been done before those two women stopped him in the elevator. But when I see people on social media saying, this guy, I can't wait till he retires, fuck this guy, he's like his name, he's a fucking flake. Who are you people? Because I call myself an American, and goddammit, you're not an American. Who are you that we can turn a blind eye and a blind ear, or don't even listen to a woman when she says she was sexually assaulted or she was raped? That's some serious shit. And again, I will say it myself. There has been more than once where someone has come up, trumped up a story, no pun intended, has trumped up a story to try and get somebody in trouble. I know that that's a thing. But if you ask the right questions, you will always get to the truth. I wanted to end my show on a nice note because the email that I got, it did blow me away. But then I got to thinking, and then my mouth started running. I'm not going to apologize for shit that I just said, because I meant it all. Thank you again, Carrie Ann, for being here. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you all for joining me this week. I appreciate you. We're out. We are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.